This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always we begin by praising Allah. Nashhadu la ilaha illallah. We testify there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love and greetings to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his companions and his family, and to all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we conclude with our series Against All Odds, which looks at the Battle of Ahzab. And the purpose of this lecture is really about dependency and tawakkal when all things look when the situation looks dire, when you are in a hopeless situation. It could be, may Allah make it easy for you, in your health, in your family, your relationships, in your finances. And then we, of course, on a global perspective, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to push us. It is His decree that He puts us in an impossible situation, and then He shows that the people of dependency on Him, He can make the impossible come true. Now, quick recap. We said that a coalition of enemies have united to invade Medina. The mastermind behind this coalition is a Jewish tribe that was expelled from Medina. They were expelled because they tried to assassinate the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This massive army cannot be fought. They're superior in terms of numbers and technology. The Sahaba, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, understands there's no way we can meet them out. It would be suicide. And they agree to dig a trench, a buffer, between this army and the people of Medina. And subhanAllah, as we said last week, that as Muslims, we take every precaution we can. And we take every measure. If there is still a possible treatment, if there is some kind of hope, we take it. And we don't become critical and negative. We don't become despondent. That is our ummah. As the Nabi says, if you have that plant in your hand, and the trumpet of Qiyamah has been blown, you still plant that plant. There is no tomorrow, but we still believe and we put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Sahaba dig this trench, and mashallah, in the depths of their weakness, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we're going to conquer the world. They are at their weakest position, but he says, Allah has told me we're going to conquer the world. The believers say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, we're going to conquer the world. The munafiqs say, look at these people, they are crazy, they are deluded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this to show who truly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has faith in Allah, and those who, subhanallah, may Allah guide us, ameen. Alhamdulillah, for about a month, the army arrives, the Ahzab, the coalition arrives, and they are shocked to find this trench. And they are camped outside Medina for about a month. By now, they're getting frustrated, they're getting angry. Alhamdulillah, it seems like the strategy is working. This experimental treatment is working. This crazy strategy is succeeding. Then, subhanAllah, there is a trick up the sleeve of the Ahzab. The leader of the mastermind behind this thing, is a Jewish man, a chief. And there was in Medina one last remaining Jewish tribe. Medina had multiple tribes. By now, many of them had left for a number of reasons. Not because they were Jewish. Very importantly, they did not leave because they were Jewish. Had the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expelled them because of the Jewish religion, he would have expelled all of them. He wouldn't expel them one by one. There remained one last tribe in Medina. And before the battle, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen, your own brethren are coming to fight us. We have no problem. Are you with us or are you against us? They said, we are with you. We are part of Medina. We are united here. I said, no problem. We take your word for it. And so they were on the side of the Muslims, this Jewish tribe in Medina. The Ahzab, the leader of the Ahzab on the outside, said, if we can flip this Jewish tribe in the middle of the battle, then this would compromise the defenses. And so he goes in, he sneaks into Medina, and we don't go into all the details, there's a lot to be discussed. After much negotiation and much sort of trickery, eventually this Jewish tribe flips. Now you can imagine in the heat of the battle, you're on the front line, and your own ally turns around and starts shooting you. This is the worst kind of treachery, betrayal. And this Jewish tribe flips. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he gets sort of a notion, an indication that this might have happened, he sends the two most senior Ansari Sahaba. Now, not much we can teach in these short lectures, but we all know the Meccan Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. These are the leaders of the Sahaba of Mecca. Who were the main guys, the main Sahaba of Medina? It's very easy to know them. There's two of them. They have the same name, Sa'ad and Sa'ad, the two Sa'ads. Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad and Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad and Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. So the Nabi says both of them. Why the people of Medina? Because these are not, these Jewish tribes lived in Medina for hundreds of years. They grew up together. So he sends Medina Sahaba to say, guys, we grew up together. If you flip, it's not that we're just going to fight a battle. You're going to kill us, our women, our children. We grew up, we played soccer together. Yes, you were Jewish, I'm Arab. No problem, but we live together. You gave us your word. How can you do this on a human level, on a neighborly level? And the Prophet says, both these sides, go and see what's happening. Go and find out the truth. Don't let us not work on speculation. Subhanallah, the reality is they had completely flipped. And to show their animosity and their determination to hurt the Muslims, just a bit again more context, when the battle was going on, all the men were on the front line defending the trench. The city was kind of empty. The ladies were all put in a fortress. So the ladies are in a fortress and the men are on the front line defending the trench. What this Jewish tribe did, they sent a group of assassins to attack the fortress of the ladies. To this, to really demoralize, to break the spirit. So imagine your children, your wives are being attacked while you're on the front line from the inside of the city. Alhamdulillah, the Nabi sent a battalion and was able to defend this. And at this moment now, it seemed completely hopeless. Now, the trench is not going to work. It's just a matter of when are they going to invade us? When are they going to drop that bomb? When are they going to destroy us? Because there's nothing we can do now. They just need to open the gate and the enemies will stream from the inside. And Allah mentions this moment in the Quran. He captures this moment so beautifully. Allah says, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ. When your enemies came on top of you, from above you, and from within you and from under you, meaning when your enemies overwhelmed you from all positions, Allah says to the Sahaba, وَإِذَا زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ, and your eyes were shaking, the Sahaba were in terror. You must understand, these are the holiest people on earth, but they don't know if we will live to see tomorrow. And Allah says, your eyes were shaking, وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ, and your hearts were in your throat. You couldn't even breathe. You were in such a panic. And Allah says, subhanAllah, وَتَظَنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنُونَ, and you began to have thoughts about Allah. You began to think, oh Sahaba, is this the end of the road? Is this where it goes? Is this where it ends? Is Allah really going to come and save us now? Where is the tawakkal now? So Allah says, and you began to have thoughts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures the moment. Allah says, هُنَالِكَ إِبْتَلَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, and there, this is how I test the believers. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَلًا شَدِيدًا. And I shook them, I put them in a severe test. We ask, ya Allah, what's going in Gaza and in Yemen? And Allah says, we are testing you. We put you, not because we are powerless, but because Allah wants to push you to the brink sometimes. Allah knows best. It's Allah's plan. And so Allah says, I've pushed them to the brink. The Sahaba are sitting, looking to the Nabi for inspiration. What are we going to do now, ya Rasulullah? Tomorrow they could invade us. They could kill our women, our children. He can't give any reassurance. All we can do now is dua. Now, there isn't even a strategy. Imagine the strategy is, go make tahajjud and make dua. Prepare for, it might be qiyamah tomorrow, it might be that we are overwhelmed, Allah decides. No one is guaranteed, not even Rasulullah. The situation is absolutely hopeless, no way to survive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix this with one person. One man will change all of this. Wouldn't it be cool if I just say, and we continue next week? No, we have time, alhamdulillah, I have to finish this week. Right, one person will change this entire hopeless situation. Allah shows His power. While the Nabi and Sahaba are sitting, they are now, you know, on the front line defending, contemplating, discussing what should we do and just making dua. A man from the enemy side creeps into Medina. One of the enemy soldiers creeps into Medina. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I came here to invade you, to fight you, to harm Medina, to fight against you, to destroy Islam. But today I woke up a Muslim. I don't know how. I woke up as a Muslim. I just woke up as a Muslim. What can I do to help you? And then Nabi says, what can you do to help me? I don't know, you one man. What can you do? I don't know. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have a strategy. I have a strategy. Now, not to go into too much detail, this man was an interesting person. He was a type of ambassador. He had, before he had met the Quraysh, he had known the Jews, he had known the Muslims, he had known Rasulullah. He was a person that had been an ambassador for his tribe. He's not the senior most guy, he's not the biggest, he's not the leader, but he is somebody that had connections with everybody. And so he knows how to speak to everybody. So he said, I've got a plan. And do you allow me to use misinformation? Do you allow me to use some kind of deception? And the Nabi said this very famous hadith, it's a small hadith, Al-Harb Khuda'ah. That war is deception. It's like one of the maxims of war. That deception is an art of war, but betrayal is not. What the Jewish tribe did was betrayal, was treason. This is to give misdirection, this is permissible. It's a fine line. So this man said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, you gave me permission, I have a plan. Okay, and this man leaves. The Nabi, they don't know, Sahaba doesn't know, what is his plan? And he goes and he starts speaking to the different players. He first goes to the Jews inside Medina. He goes to the Jews inside Medina. And he said, Alhamdulillah, I heard you guys have split, you come to our side. And this man wasn't Qurayshi or Jewish. So he's like a neutral person. He says, you know, I'm one of the outside tribes. I'm not with the Quraysh, I'm not. But you guys, by the way, you are you've flipped, you've come to our side, we're happy. But I must tell you as a friend and as a brother, as one who's concerned, you are in Medina. If the Quraysh leaves tomorrow, all of Medina will come upon you. You taking all the risks. The army can leave. We can leave. You guys can't leave. You're inside Medina. So you have all the risks. If the battle goes sour, what's going to happen to you guys? You have no collateral. And I must imagine, he said, you guys are Jews. You should know this collateral thing by now. I shouldn't be telling you. Right? So the Jews said, yeah, it's true. We have no security. The Quraysh could just leave us and then we take the brunt of it. Our families are at risk. So he said, I suggest to you, my recommendation, what do you suggest? So they said, I suggest you tell the Quraysh, tell Abu Sufyan, if you want us to fight, we're not going to start the battle until you send us like 70 prisoners, hostages. So if you leave, we kill your 70 hostages. This is the kind of thing that they did. You give us collateral in blood. Give us 70 of your loved ones. We keep them here in the fortress. If the battle goes well, you get them back. If you turn your backs on them, on us, we will kill them. This is, we're not going to go, we're not going to move until it's collateral. Then he goes to Abu Sufyan the Quraysh and he says, my Arab brother, you really trust these guys? Yesterday they were with Muhammad, today they were there, and now they flip. They're just waiting for the highest bidder. And I've heard my sources tell me that Muhammad, he of course didn't say, he said, has negotiated with them that they're willing to come back to Islam. They're willing to come back to not Islam, to the Muslims. But on this, so now both Abu Sufyan and the Jews are out of step. The Banu, they are out of step. They're not, neither one is wanting to move. You go first, no, you go first. I'll only go if you bring me 70. And now, Allah says this in the Quran, تحسبهم, you Muslims believe your enemies, their hearts are so unified. But you don't know behind the scenes in the UN, in the White House, how they hate each other. They're only united against you, but in reality, if it wasn't for you, they'd be killing each other. They hate each other. They have no trust for one another. There's no brotherhood between them. And so now, a huge political storm is going on. And they are trying to mediate, but no one is wanting to move. And as time goes on, the soldiers are becoming frustrated. Supplies are running out. Things are getting worse. Meanwhile, in Medina, no one knows what's going on. They're just making salah, kunut. They don't know. And subhanAllah, Allah's plan is working. The Sahaba, the Nabi himself knows nothing. Eventually, Abu Sufyan says, I'm done with all this negotiation. We are going tomorrow. We're going to go, you're going to go, tomorrow is the day. No more discussions. It's either this, it's either tomorrow, or we're cancelling this whole campaign. And the tribe says, tomorrow is not going to work for us. Why? Why is tomorrow not going to work for us? Why? What's wrong? Tomorrow is Saturday. The Sabbath. Abu Sufyan says, what? You can't fight on a Saturday? You are now just making up nonsense now. Now, you are mistaking me for a fool now. Imagine after all this, you said, we are ready to go. You said, no, Saturday is a problematic day. We don't work on a Saturday. We don't fight on a Saturday. And Abu Sufyan felt this was complete, utter nonsense. He is furious. He is so angry that his advisors, those who brought the coalition together, you remember the Jews that brought him to this, they actually leave to go inside Medina because they fear Abu Sufyan might kill them. He is so furious. Still, Sahaba don't know anything. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last reports he heard was, they are mobilizing, it's Friday night, Saturday morning is the invasion, Saturday morning is janazah. What are we going to do? Now I fast forward many decades later, the Muslims have now conquered the world. And one of the Sahaba, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, known to be the keeper of the secrets, very special Sahabi. He is now, alhamdulillah, he's in another city, he sees the Muslim world flourishing, and he's talking to the new Muslims, the new converts. And they said, oh, Hudhayfa, how lucky you were to meet the Nabi Sallam. If we were there, we would have outshunned you, Sahaba. We wouldn't have even allowed the Nabi Sallam to walk on the ground. We'd have carried him. That's how our iman is. So Hudhayfa said, really? Is that how quiet you guys are? Well, let me tell you something. Now he's telling the story of the Battle of the Trench. It's Friday night. We think tomorrow is the invasion, but we're not sure. We don't know which side it's going. We are all just waiting and panicking. It's Isha time, and in rolls a storm. It's the darkest night of the year. It is bitterly cold. Everything feels off. The mood is completely down. Nobody is feeling optimistic. And the Nabi says to Sahaba, he says, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, who's going to go and take a like suicide mission? Go into the enemy camp of the Quraysh. Find out what's going on and bring me information. Nobody stands up. Before Abu Bakr, Umar, all of this, nobody stands up. The Nabi says, who's going to go and do this? And I will be your witness on Qiyamah. Nobody stands up. Subhanallah. Then the Nabi says, Hudhayfa. And he says, when he said Hudhayfa, my heart like sank. Look at his iman. He said, I didn't want to go. But because he said my name, now I don't have a choice. This is iman. This is iman. He said, Hudhayfa, get up. And so he said, I have to get up. He commanded me. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Hudhayfa, go find out. Don't fight. Don't engage. He made dua for me. And then he touched my chest and I felt my anxiety disappear. So it's the middle of the night. I sneak through the trench, cross the enemy lines, into the enemy camp. I'm looking to see what can I see. And he said the wind was blowing and howling. Tents were being thrown upside down. And he says, I see a man that looks to be like a leader. People are gathering around him. So I get to choose this, and it's Abu Sufyan, the leader. And I want to take my bow out and kill him, but then I realized the command was just listen. So I get in the jama'ah, I come close to listen to what the announcement is. And while I'm sitting there, I'm surrounded by all these enemies. Abu Sufyan says, my people, I'm going to make a private announcement. Check who's sitting next to you. And Hudhayfa says, the minute he said that, I grabbed the man to my right and I said, what's your name? And I grabbed the man to say, what's your name? And no one asked me, what's my name? And they left me. And I sat there and I listened. And Abu Sufyan says, after much negotiations, we cannot trust these Yahud tribe. They have no intentions of fighting. They've wasted our time. They brought us here. It's been more than a month. Now the storm has come. Our provisions are done. Our tents are being blown out. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm packing my bags and I'm going back to Makkah. I'm done. And he packs his bag and he leaves. And the rest of the Ahzab, they start to take their stuff and they begin to disappear. Hudhayfa is so happy. He knows, I can't make it known. And he crawls back through the trench, across into Medina. It's now probably 2-3 o'clock the morning. He finds the Nabi Sallam in tahajjud. Very, very cold night. He has a blanket around him. They're still on the front lines. He's not in his house. He's making tahajjud on the front line. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu sits on his knees waiting for the Nabi Sallam to end. And he says, the Prophet opened the blanket and pulled me in. He pulled me into the blanket because it's cold. And when he finished, made tahajjud, and he says, I know the news already, you know. If I was Hudhayfa, I thought, then why did you send me? But he says, I know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completely thrown their plans in ruin. When Fajr came the next morning, the storm was gone, the wind was gone, and the Ahzab had disappeared. They had all left. And you know, subhanallah, this is to show, as I said, in the depths of where even Rasulullah doesn't know what way to go, at the end of the day, our dependence in Allah will get us through. And you recite the subhanallah every time in Eid. La ilaha illallah wahda anjaza wa'ada wa nasara abda. That Allah is true to his promise. And he supported his servants. Wa hazama al-ahzab. And he defeated all the enemies wahda, by himself. He doesn't need anyone's help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can defeat everyone, change any situation, cure any disease, solve any financial problem if you want, all by himself, without anything, without any need from our side. Yes, Allah pushes us. It is not our efforts that brings the success, but it's our sincerity and our tawakkal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see how serious are we with iman. Do we truly believe that when everything is at its end and Allah says, this is the Muslims, when things are absolutely against you, you say, my dependence here on Allah is sufficient. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah, you are enough for me. If this is what you want, then you are sufficient for me. So we ask Allah to give us true yaqeen, true iman, put our dependency in Him. May Allah make all our problems, you know, Allah take it away, replace our hardship with ease, and grant victory to all of us. Ameen. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. And with that, we conclude our series. Just a few quick announcements. Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 17th, there's a workshop on zakah. Please, for the time, 11 to 1 o'clock, and it'll be at the Bukab Cultural Hub. Alhamdulillah, you know, SANZAF is, for a Muslim minority, one of the best zakah institutions in the world. As a Muslim minority, we are one of the leaders in this, and it's good for us to always know zakah is the most complicated of the pillars of Islam, and it's important to know that this requirement of yours is in line. So please join. Then of course our meet and treat, the second, you know, Hajj and zakah and everything on one side, and the other half of your iman is marriage, and this needs to be alhamdulillah, it's fully booked. Well, alhamdulillah, we're good. So we make dua that the meet and treat is success, and our brothers and sisters find a good companion. And then on the 1st of December, a lot of classes. We're having our Umrah course. It is fully booked. There is also an online class available. So anyone going on Umrah, maybe in another province, maybe in another country, we have people, alhamdulillah, from the Netherlands who join our classes. If you have anyone that's going on Umrah, alhamdulillah, we believe it's a very good course. It's a crash course, just one, you know, 4 or 5 hours. Everything you need to know about Umrah, please share the link, bi-idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.